In our previous year, we had discussed Anachba as one of the Shrotzim that are Tamei. And our Gemara today, our Shir Daf Kuf Chav Zayin, and we will begin Daf Kuf Chavov Amud Beis, 6 lines from the bottom, Tana Rabbanan, explores the halachas of Achbarim, and which Achbarim are Tamei, and when are they Tamei. Tana Rabbanan, B'tar Shenemar Achbar, the Torah says that the Achbar is one of the Shrotzim that conveys Tumah. Shemei Ani Afil Achbar Shebiyam. It would seem to include even the Achbar which is not from the ground, but the Achbar that's in the sea. Shemei Achbar. For it too carries the name Achbar. Bedinu, asked the Gemara, is that correct? Timei B'cholda. We know that the Cholda is one of the Shrotzim which is Tamei. V'tima v'achbar. And the Torah says that the Achbar is one of the Shrotzim that's Tamei. Ma Chuba. When we speak about a Cholda, it's only the Min HaGodol al Earth. It's only one that creeps on the earth. For as we will be learning, there is no Cholda Shebiyam. We should suggest, therefore, that only Achbar, so to the Achbar, only the Achbar, which is the Min HaGodol al Aretz, this type of Achbar which is on the earth, is Tamei. Or Kalachu Deretzu. A different argument can be made. Tima B'Cholda, the Torah said that the Cholda is Tamei, but Tima B'Achbar, the Torah said that the Achbar is Tamei. Ma Cholda, when we speak about a Cholda, Kol Sheshmoy Cholda, anything that falls into the family of Cholda is considered a Sheretz, which is Tamei. Achbar, so too should be the halacha by the Achbar. That kol sheshmai Achbar, anything that's called an Achbar, afil should be tamei, and therefore, afil Achbar should be yam sheshmai Achbar. Therefore, even the Achbar that is in the yam, that is in the category of Achbar, should also be tamei. Tam loinger, that's why the Torah says the words al ha'aretz, to teach us that only the Achbar Shebi Oretz, only the Achbar that's on the ground is Tamei, not the Achbar Shebiyam. Oy Al Ha'oretz, or we can learn this way, Yochel Al Ha'oretz Yitamei, that what the Torah is teaching us with this word is that when the Achbar is on the ground, it's Tamei. Yor L'yam, but once it goes into the Yam, Lo Yitamei, that means the Pasuk will be teaching us not that the Achbar Shebiyam is excluded, but rather the Pasuk would be teaching us that the Achbar Shebaoretz, when it's in the Yam, it doesn't give off Tamaloymer. That's why the Torah says the words Hashiretz, and we learn from the word Hashiretz that Kamakam Shesheretz, that this Achbar Shebiyabosha, wherever it creeps, even when it's creeping on the yam, it gives off tumma. And therefore, Hashayrit comes to teach us that the Achbar Shebiyabosha is always tumme, and Hashayrit has come to teach us that wherever it creeps, it's tumme, Achbar Shebiyabosha is always tumme, and our Oretz has come to teach us that the Achbar Shebiyam is excluded. Ayeinan, or perhaps, continues the Braisa, El Hashoritz, the word Hashoritz has come to teach us, they call Hamashritz Yatame, that only those Achbarim which multiply. For as we learned in our previous year, there are two types of Achbarim. There are Achbarim that are multiplied, the regular type of Achbarim, and then there are Achbarim that spawn from the earth. And we would say that only Hamashritz Yatame, the regular Achbar has the ability to give off Tumah. Shana Mashritz, the one that doesn't multiply because it only gets developed from the earth, Lo Yatamei, does not give off Tumah Sheretz. And therefore, Oitzi we will exclude from Tumah Achbar, so Chetzi Bas and Chetzi Adoma, Shain Parv Rabba because it doesn't multiply normally. And therefore, the Pasuk would be learned as follows. Ala Oretz is coming to teach us that only on land is the Tumah, not in the Yam. And Hashoyritz is come to teach us that this achbar that grows from the earth is not metame. V'dinhu, says the Gemara, that is incorrect. Logic teaches us to say differently. Because time betulodo, the time achbar. The Torah says that a cholda is tame, and the Torah says that achbar is tame. Ma cholda kol sheshmai cholda. When we speak about a cholda, we mean anything that falls into the category of cholda. Af achbar. So too, I'll say regarding achbar, kol sheshmai achbar, and therefore avi, we will include an achbar shechetz yibasa v'chetz yadoma that is considered the family of achbar, and therefore the way we're going to learn the pasuk is al oritz is come to teach us that achbar shebiyam don't give off tuma, and hashoritz is come to teach us that wherever the sheretz is on the land or on the yam, it does give tuma. So we can make a different argument. Ma chulda. A chulda is a creature which is par of a rava which multiplies. We'll say only the achbar, which is par of a rava, which multiplies normally, that achbar gives off tuma. Another achbar will not. And therefore we'll say that a shayritz is teaching us that only achbarim that multiply give off tuma. And our Oritz is teaching us that only on land is there tuma, not at sea. And if so, indeed, the Achbar Shebiyam will also give off tuma. Tamaloyma, that's why the Torah says the word Besheretz, to teach us that even if it doesn't multiply, it gives off tuma. So Tysus asked the question. The Gemara here asked, when we compare the Achbar, which is doesn't multiply, we could compare it l'chumra to a cholda and say just like all choldas are tamei, so too is achbar tamei, even this type of achbar, or could we makash it l'kula and say that just like a cholda is only something that multiplies, so too the only achbar that gives us tum is one that multiplies. So Tais was asked that we have a rule through Al Shas that wherever we can makish something l'kula l'chumra, we're always makish l'chumra. So why would we need a pasuk to teach us that it should be tameh? Just apply the concept that we can makish l'chumra or l'kula. So Tosfos answers, the word hashoritz seems to indicate that it means something that can multiply. So yes, when all things are equal, we prefer to, and we are relying on a hekish, we're makish l'chumra rather than being makish l'kula. But here, where the pasuk seems to indicate that it has to multiply, therefore we need the pasuk of a sheretz. Another teretz that I saw that the achronim suggest is that this rule that Tosfos mentions, that whenever we have a hekish, we're makish l'chumra rather than being makish l'kula, is only said where there will be no kula coming out of that lima. But as we just explained, if we're going to learn the Gemara, if we're going to learn this way, then the halacha will be that it the sheretz, the achbar that doesn't multiply will be tameh, but the achbar shebiyam will not be tameh. So it won't be just a chumra that emanates from learning a hekish l'chumra, it will also be a kula. And therefore, because we prefer to, so therefore the rule of being makish l'chumra, not l'kula, doesn't apply when a kula may come out of this hekish, and that's why we need the pasuk. A third teretz that I saw from the Ber Yitzchak, the nice teretz, he says, indeed, whenever we have an opportunity to be makish l'chumra, l'kula, or makish l'chumra. What does that mean, that when we can be makish l'chumra, or makish l'kula, or makish l'chumra? It means, like we have many times, we'll discuss this later in our shiur today again, in Mitzvah Hashem, that because it's a suffix, and whenever we have a suffix derived, so we go l'chumra. But that means that the only reason we're being machmer is because we have a suffix. Versus when we have a pasuk, then it's not because of a suffix that we're being machmer, we're being machmer because it's an absolute halacha, that's what the Torah says. And we prefer to be machmer without any question, that's what the Torah went out of its way to say a pasuk, rather than just to rely on this concept, which will teach us to be machmir only because of a suffix. Amalei humi rabbanon urava. So one of the rabbanon said to Rava, "Ein v'sheretz." Maybe the word v'sheretz is coming indeed la'asuyei achbar shechetzi basa v'chetzi adama. The achbar that doesn't multiply. Hasheretz. And we'll say that the word hasheretz is coming to teach us kol shu sheretz, anything that multiplies. V'afilu achbar shebiyam, even the achbar from the yam. V'mishum ala aretz. If I, what are we going to use the words ala aretz to teach us? To teach us that ala aretz, that all of these achbarim, when they're on the land, yitame, they convey tumah. Yard liyam, but when they're in the yam, lo yitame, they don't convey tumah. So, maybe that's the way to learn the pasuk. Amalei, to which Rav responded, "Amachva d'shvis le'mokam tumah." If we're going to say that the achbar shebiyam gives off tumah, then to say that the achbar shebiyam gives off tumah, but that it only gives off tumah on the aretz, on the dry land, and it doesn't give off tumah on the yam, makes no sense. Because mali haka, mali haka. If we'll say that only the achbar shebiyam gives tumah, so that we can understand. But if we're learning now that the achbar shebiyam gives tumah, then after saying that the achbar shebiyam gives tumah, we'll say that it only gives tumah on the yam, on the aretz, not on the yam, makes no sense. So now the Rishonim ask, if the Gemara has this concept that if it gives off tumah, it should give off tumah everywhere, so if so, why do we need a special pasuk previously in the Gemara to teach us these halachas? So the Tosfos of Rosh says that we didn't yet, until we know that Hashoyritz comes to teach us that the Sheretz Hayabosha is metamid even when it goes to the Yam, I would still think that our Oretz is not metamid. Only after we know that the Sheretz Ha'oretz is metamid everywhere is there place for such a svar. Before we go further, we've many times mentioned in our Shiurim the concept of Sofik Tumah. And the halacha throughout Shas is that Sofik Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tameh, Sofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahor. The reason? Because we learn it from a Saita. A Saita is a woman who was accused of having an adulterous relationship. And the Torah teaches us that the halacha is that if she secludes herself in a private place, she becomes Asa to her husband, even though we don't know for sure that she is Tameh. But it's a Sofik Tumah, and it's treated like she's Tameh. But if it was at a public place, she would be Tamer. Because Sofik Tumah Rishus HaYachid is Tameh, Sofik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tahor. Says the Gemara, Hai Ala Aretz. So ask the Gemara, don't we need the word Ala Aretz Lahaitzi, Bibayla Lahaitzi Sofik Tumah Tzofa? That if there's a Sofik Tumah of a Sheretz in Rishus HaYachid, that even though normally the halach is that it ought to be tamei, here will be tahor. Dom Rav Yitzhak Avdimi, al oretz, lahaytzi safak tumah, that even if the safak tumah b'shus hayachid, it's tahor. Answers the Gemara, tate al oretz k'sivi. The Torah says the word al oretz twice, and since the Torah says the word al oretz twice, we can learn both halachas that we've been learning. One is to teach us that safak tumah by sheretz, even b'shus hayachid, is tahor. And the other is to teach us that the Achbar Shebiyam is not Tameh. Briskarov asks, when the Gemara here says that the Achbar Shebi, that when the Gemara here says that a Sofik of Sheretz, B'Shus HaYachid is Tameh, how are we to understand this halacha? Are we to understand it that even though throughout Shas, as I said, the halacha is that we're always Machmer with a Sofik Tumah B'Shus HaYachid, here the Torah is telling us that it's an exception to the rule. That's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding it is that the Torah is telling us something much deeper. The Torah is telling us that in order for Tumah to be conveyed, in order for Tumah Sheretz to be conveyed, it can only be conveyed when we know for sure that the Sheretz touched the thing that's going to become Tameh. In the absence
of absolute knowledge of that reality, then there won't be any tumma. What would be the nafgamina between the two ways that the Brisker Rav suggests? The nafgamina would be in a situation where it's a suffolk tumma versus a rabbin, where, as I said before, even though normally the halacha is suffolk tumma versus a rabbin is tahor, there are situations where suffolk tumma versus a rabbin is tamei, when there's a chazaka also telling you that it should be tamei. So now, if we say that this pasuk of our Oretz is teaching us a special halacha regarding Rishus HaYachid, so in the case that I just mentioned, even though it's Rishus HaRabim, it will be tamei, because the chazaka tells us to treat it as tamei. If, on the other hand, it's a special halacha that when we speak about shrotzim, unless you know for sure the sheretz touched the item, it's not tamei, then that will be the halacha by every suffolk. The Mefarshim actually want to connect this question to a different question. And that is, we know the famous machlokes Rambam and Rashba, how do we treat a suffolk tumma? How do we treat a suffolk daraisa? Is a suffolk daraisa l'chumra, that we know the halacha is that suffolk daraisa l'chumra, is it that a din daraisa, that the Torah tells us to do that? Or is that a din only with the Rabbanim? The opinion of the Rashba is that it's a din d'oraisa. The opinion of the Rambam is that it's a din d'rabbanan. If so, we can understand the Gemara very nicely. According to the Rambam, that says sofet tuma, sofet d'oraisa is always l'kula mid'oraisa. It's only with rabbanan l'chumra. So here, the Torah is telling us a special din above and beyond, that sheretz is always tamei only for sure if it's sure touched. If, however, we say that Sofet Daraisa L'chumra is Medaraisa, so here the Pasuk is coming to teach us that this is an exception to that rule. Tana Rabbanan, the Torah, when it speaks about the various Shrotzim, says Hatzov L'minehu. Tzov is a frog. The Torah says Hatzov L'minehu, Lavi Ha'arvud. The Arvud, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, is a creature which is a comes from a combination of a snake and a frog. Hanafilim, many Mefarshim have actually the Girsa Oben Hanafilim, because Nafilim we know are the Malachim that came down to this world. So Ben Hanafilim means this special creature, the Slamandra. Slamandra, as we have many times in Shas, is a creature that some say was created through Kishif, others say that it was created from burning hadassim, which is made for fire. They burn the, some say it has the fire is burning 7 years, and that slamandra is, like the others, all in the category of something that's tamei. Although I saw, and the Mefarshim asked, the Gemara says in Sechta Sanhedrin that Ochoz wanted to burn his son Chizkiyo as a worship for Avodah Zarah, and his mother covered him with salamandra. And if we say that salamandra is tamei, so how did we find afterwards that Chizkiyo was a Navi? And how do HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to somebody? How could somebody be a Navi when he was smeared with this tumma? So the Tzitz Eliezer wants to suggest that there are two types of salamandras, something that we mentioned a moment ago. The salamandra that's created through Kishif, and the salamandra that's created just by burning fire. The salamandra that's created through Kishif is what the Torah says is tamei. The salamandra that's created by burning wood is not tamei, and that was the salamandra that was used by Chizkiyo's mother to smear him with. Others say, simpler terrors obviously, that he was smeared with a salamandra oil only for that time when his father wanted to burn him as a worship type by the Zara. Once it got absorbed or washed off, obviously, it's not a problem anymore. Says the Gemara, K'shay Rabbi Kiva Megila Pasuk Zeh Oymer. Rabbi Kiva would learn this Pasuk, he would say, Marabba Masecha Hashem. And as Mefarshim say, of course Rabbi Kiva didn't only say Marabba Masecha Hashem when he learned this Pasuk. But this Pasuk that we'll learn now is one of the times that it caused Rekiva to declare
we see the greatness of the handiwork of Hashem. Another pshat that I saw is that this pasuk, Merabba Masecha Hashem, is in the parak of Tehillim, which Baruch Hinafshi, who speaks about all the wonderful, incredible things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And as Mefarshim point out, it would make sense that David HaMelech should either put in the clear Merabba Masecha Hashem at the beginning of the parak, that he's going to speak about the wondrous acts of Hashem, or that he should put it in at the end of the parak. But here we find that he puts it in the middle of the parak. And that was the question that Rabbi Kiva was coming to address. Why isn't it in the middle? Because he wanted to differentiate. Because Yesh L'cha B'riyas G'dayos B'yam, Yesh L'cha B'riyas G'dayos B'yabasha. They're those creatures that grow in the sea, and they're those that grow in dry land. Sh'B'yam Imoli Elohus B'yabasha Mi'ad Mesis. Those that are in the sea cannot survive on the earth. Sh'B'yabasha Imoli Yodus L'yam Mi'ad Mesis. And those that are on the earth cannot survive at sea. Yesh L'cha B'riyas G'dayos B'ar. There are those that are created in fire. Yesh L'cha B'riyas G'dayos B'av, and those that need ear. Shiva'ar Imoli Oilus La'avim Yad Mesis. Those that need fire can't survive in ear. Shiva'avir Imoli Yodus La'ar. And those that need oxygen cannot survive in fire. Yad Mesis. And when he saw this, he said, Merabba Masecha Hashem. Pashup Shat, what Rabbi Kiva was coming to address, he was speaking about the four basic elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. Ear, fire, water, and earth. And he was saying that all of these different elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world are needed for the existence of the world. But then I saw that there's actually perhaps a deeper meaning in what Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Kiva, because if that was the point of what Rabbi Kiva was making, then he should have said that there are four elements, and each one of those elements has creatures that can only survive in its element. Why did he separate it, the earth versus the water, and the fire versus the air? He was coming to teach us a very important lesson, that every thing has its boundary in which it can survive. Something in fire can't go into water, and so too vice versa. And it is for us to learn from that a lesson, that we who have in ourselves different elements also need to create for ourselves boundaries where to where we can come and to where we can't go. Continue with the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan Kosh Yesh B'Yabasha Yesh B'Yam. Everything that exists on the dry land exists in the Yam. Chutz Min HaCholdo. There is no weasel in the Yam. Amar Rav Zeir, my crop. How do we see this from a pasuk? Because the pasuk, when it speaks about land dwellers, says Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Choled. Why are land dwellers specifically called Yoshvei Choled versus any other name? The reason is because Yoshvei Choled represents that we are, that Cholda, the word Choled coming from the word Cholda, is something that grows specifically on the earth. So Mefarshim try to explain this Gemara on different ways when the Pasuk is saying what we learn from the Cholda, that it doesn't exist. One pshat that I saw from the Michta Melio, he says that what's on the earth is much more revealed to us. What's in the Yam, in the depths of the sea, is something that we don't easily see, or perhaps don't see at all. And we're learning from here the depths of the Bria, of the creation of the world, that just like we understand that we don't understand everything that exists in the depths of the sea, we need to understand that we don't even understand everything that exists on this world. There's so much more deeper than we don't begin to fathom. The Sefer Divrei Yisrael from the Magid to Rebbe explains, Kamash Yesh B'Yabosha Yesh B'Yam. The Yam always represents the Yam HaTorah. The Kamash Yesh B'Yabosha, any questions that we have on the Yabosha, any questions that we have regarding our existence in this world, Yesh B'Yam, the place to look for the answer to these questions is in the Yam HaTayra. However, of course, the place can make a very important point, that even though the Gemara is clearly indicating that the creatures that exist on the earth and the creatures that exist in the Yam, there are corresponding creatures, that doesn't mean that in Hilchos Kashrus they have the same rule. And just because an animal is considered a kosher animal, or vice versa, a non-kosher animal, doesn't mean that the corresponding creature on the Yam will be kosher or non-kosher. Everything has, as we learned in this Masechta, has its own simonim. Kosher animals have their simonim, non-kosher animals have their simonim. And the Mefarshim tried to understand why specifically is the Cholda, the weasel, the one creation, the one creature that doesn't exist beyond. Some explain that we know that the Yabosha represents Olam Hazeh, the Yam represents Olam Haba, Torah, as we said. And the Cholda, the weasel, represents the Yetzahara. Komash Yesh Bi Yabosha, everything that exists on the Yabosha, could help you get to Olam Haba, to the Yam. If you're careful, chutz me'acholder, not to follow the advice of the holder, the weasel that hides in the crevices of our hearts, the Yetzirah. Another pshat that I saw, beautiful pshat, is we say every day in our tefillos, v'choif es yitzreinu l'shtabaluch. And the first will explain what that pasuk means to say. We say es yitzreinu, both the Yetzirah and the Yetzirah should be used l'shtabaluch to serve Hashem. How do we use the Yetzirah to serve Hashem? So Farshim explained that even the midos, even the characteristics that are understood to be unfavorable characteristics, can be used for avodas Hashem. If somebody has, for example, the midah kas, that he gets angry, but he gets angry at those who desecrate Hashem's name, then the midah kas is fine. Gaiva, the pasuk says, "V'yigba liboy v'darkei Hashem." There's one midah, however, that is unacceptable, and that is the midah of the cholda. The Gemara says that what is the characteristic of the cholda? The characteristic of the cholda is that it's constantly gathering more and more grain, even though it doesn't need it. Why is it doing that? Because it can't fargin, it can't accept that somebody else should have that grain, even though it doesn't need it. That midah of not being able to share with someone else, that midah that somebody else shouldn't have, even though it doesn't make a difference to me, that midah is an unacceptable midah. Kol midah, kol abriyos. Everything can be used, sheyesh bi habasha, yesh bi yam. Every midah, every characteristic can be used positively, even for avodas Hashem, besides that one midah. Then I saw a very different shot. Those who are familiar with the Perek Shira, where the Perek Shira mentions that every creature in the world worships, praises Hashem with a different pasuk. In the Perek Shira, the pasuk that's attributed to the Cholda is the pasuk of Kol HaNeshama Tahaluka. And the Gemara explains that what does Kol HaNeshama Tahaluka mean? I call Neshima V'Neshima Tahaluka. For every breath, we have to thank Hashem. And the lesson of this Gemara, therefore, is as follows. As long as we are alive, as long as we're alive, I call Neshima, Neshima, we can worship Hashem and grow and get closer to Hashem. Once we're no longer here, we no longer have that ability. And that is the lesson of the Cholda. The Cholda has more than enough food. But even though it has more than enough food, it doesn't stop collecting more and more food. It doesn't stop working because it knows that there's a goal. Here too, as we need to utilize every second of our lives for avodas Hashem. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna Bar Eder Yeshua. Bibri de Narish, the beavers of the city of Narish, Enim and Ayishiv, are not considered as if they grow on the earth, they grow on the water. And as Tyson explains, why do we need to know this? Because we know there are two different types of shrotzim. The sheretz ha-sheretz al-aretz, and the sheretz ha-sheretz al-yam. And in order to get malchus, You're going to get one set of malchus no matter what type of sheretz, but to get additional malchus and to get the proper asra, we have to give the proper asra. That's all we need to know, if it's a sheretz hasheretz al aretz or sheretz hasheretz al yam. Continue the Gemara, Amar Papa, b'shamta narish, the people of narish should be put into cheirim for doing, for acting improperly. Tarbe mashrei v'yosei, the fat, the hide, and the tail, which means all of the people of Narish should be in Cheirim. In fact, the word Shamta, the Mefarshim indicate, represents Mashcha, Tarba, El Yosa. What it's come to teach us is that all of the people in that city, the leaders, the regular people, and even the low-level people, all of them acted improperly. Eretz, Eretz, Shimi Dvar Hashem. The Pasuk says, listen to Hashem, the Pasuk is giving Musr, Amra Papa, but Ava Narish Shmoy Dvar Hashem. The Pasuk is telling them to listen to Dvar Hashem because they refuse. So again, the Mefarshim point out, why did the Pasuk say, Eretz, Eretz, Eretz? So again, they corresponded, Pashup Shadda, they corresponded to the previous piece of Gemara. That just like in the previous piece of Gemara, the Tarbi, the Mashka, and the Al-Yosei were all identified. Here too is speaking about all of these three different types of people in the land. The Chasam Sofer explains that the Pasuk says, Hazinu Hashemayim V'Sishma Ha'aretz. Hazinu Hashemayim, the Gemara says, are the Bali Gemara. V'Sishma Aretz, the Pasuk says the word Aretz three times. One is for the Bali Mishnah, one is for the Bali Mikra, and one is for the Bali Derech Eretz. That all of these people in Narosh, even though they knew how to learn, they weren't ready to be proper Yirei Shemayim. Then I saw a very nice pshat from the Be'er Yitzchak. He explains that a person's life can be divided into three phases. When he's young, when he's middle-aged, and when he's old. And there are some people who, Baruch Hashem, already when they're young, realize that Aretz, that our dwelling on this world is very temporary, and it causes them to act appropriately. There are others that don't come to that recognition until they come to middle age. But most people, or many people at least, come to that recognition when they come to old age and they start seeing the end of their lives and they start realizing what's important, and then our existence here is temporary. Says the Pasuk regarding the people of Narosh, Eretz, Eretz, Eretz. Not just the people when they were young, but even when the people were middle-aged. And even when Aretz, when the people were old and they're almost by the Aretz, they never realized that our existence here is very temporary and it should cause them to do the right thing. Amram Gidla Marav. Nashar Nashik. If you're kissed by an individual from Nashar, Monikafe, count your teeth. They were terrible Ganovim, and you need to be concerned that they might have stolen from your teeth. Nahar Kod Levayach, Meglima Shabir Dechazala. If a person from the Har Kapoiv walks along with you, be careful because he wants to steal from you the garment that you're wearing. Pamadisa Levayach, if somebody from Pamadisa is accompanying you, Ashnish Duza, change where you're staying over because he wants to steal, he wants to see where you're sleeping, and then he'll steal your items from you. Amar Rav Huna Bar Tarasa. Tamachti harachti levad. I once came to Vad, and as we'll see, Vad was a place where they were terrible in constantly doing klai. Risi nachash shukarach al tzav. And I saw a snake having relations with the frog. The yamim yotza arv, the name, and then the arv was produced. And as the Gemara Masech, the Brachas teaches us, that the arvid is a very lethal creature. If somebody, chas v'shalom, gets a bite from an arvid, he can't be cured unless somehow he can reach water before the arvid does. Shabbos l'fnei Rishim HaKosuv, Amali, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Heim heviu beri shlei barosi ba'lami. They are busy breeding. In Vad, as I said, they were breeding different types of creatures together. Afani ovyaleya beri shlei barosi ba'lami. I'm going to bring along on them this very dangerous arvid. Ask the Gemara, Vomamar, isn't there a rule? The Kol Sheh Tashmishin V'Yiburon Shova. If two creatures who cohabit in the same manner, and also have the same gestation period. Those two creatures, if they made it together, Yod and Megadlet, they could have children. However, the Koshay Tashmish and Reborn Shavu, if their cohabitation practices and the gestation period aren't the same, and the frog and the nachash, the tzav and the nachash, don't mate in the same way, and certainly don't have the gestation period the same, because as we know, the snake is unique, that its pregnancy period is 7 years. So how could they, by mating together, create the arvut? Amarav, neis, betois chneis. It's a fact, the double neis, that even though they don't make the same way, and even though they don't have the same gestation period, they're still able to create a new creature. But ask the Gemara, hypernasahu, is there a neis to create a punishment? As we said, the arvut is such a dangerous animal. It says the Gemara, my neis betois neis, lepronis. In fact, there is a neis betois neis to bring punishment. So the Farshim asks, the Gemara hasn't answered its question. Here the Gemara seems to indicate that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not make Nisim Lepronius. And then the Gemara seems to say that it does. So the Sam Sefer says, as we say every day in Olenu, L'sak l'hava galulim min oritz, l'sak an oilam b'makas sha'atai. That even though the Arvah does bring terrible punishment to the world, it's l'sak an oilam, its goal is to punish those that act inappropriately, because when those people are punished, when lahavi galulim in aretz, when all of the evil is taken out from the world, then l'sak an oilam amach l'shakai, then will we have a proper world. But then I saw another pshat. What does this represent? The Gemara here represents the importance of Seder, the importance of following the proper order and the proper form. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that what happens if the proper Seder and the proper form is not followed, then an arvut is created. And the lesson from us is to follow, that you're supposed to follow the proper Seder. When you follow proper Seder, then only bracha will come. When you don't follow Seder, chas v'shalom peronius katan. Says the Mishnah, Eva v'abasa hamudol mebehema. If a limb or some basar are dangling from an animal, v'tamim tumas oichlim v'mekayma. They give off tumas oichlim. That means, as Rashi explains, that even though we know an animal that's alive is not susceptible to tumas oichlim, these pieces of aver, flesh, or meat, or limbs that are dangling are already considered basar, and therefore if somebody intended, Rashi says, to feed it to a goy, so he intended to make it into an oichel, and even though it's somewhat still connected to the animal, it is already considered like it's detached and to be susceptible to tumas oichel. Rashi says that he intended to give it to a goy. Many mafarshim say that Rashi only says that he intended to give it to a goy because goyim are the ones that typically are not careful about eating eber menachai. But the same halacha would be if he intended to give it to Jewish food. Others say that no, only by a goy, because goyim at times unfortunately eat eber menachai, even though they're not supposed to, that's why that intention has some meaning. But if you intend to give it as food to someone who will never eat it, that intention is a meaningless intention. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that ein mevatel issel chatchila. And therefore you can never be mevatel issel for a Jew, and therefore it's impossible for a Jew to eat eber menachai deliberately. But we are mevatel issel for a goy, and therefore it is possible for a goy to eat eber menachai if we mevatel it, and that's why by a goy that intention can be a meaningful intention. Continues the Mishnah. However, tzrichin hechsher. They need to have hechsher. They are indeed, as we just said, considered a food, but they have to have hechsher, because like we learned always, food to be susceptible to tumas oichlin has to have its own hechsher. Nishta behema. However, if the animal is slaughtered, hochsher v'damer, the dam shchita is machsher the aver for kabbalas tuma divremeya. If Shimon Omer loy hochshura, that the dam shchita is not machsher the aver for kabbalas tuma, and the Gemara in Mitzvah Shemah tomorrow's shir will give us other explanations of this machlokus. Mesa behema. if the animal died without being slaughtered, habasa tzarech hechsher. The dangling flesh requires its own hechsher. If it hasn't come into contact with a liquid, it has to have its own hechsher. Because even though the rest of the animal has become an avela, we have a concept that we'll discuss that we've learned already before. Misa oisa nipo, the death of the animal in a manner other than shchita causes that these parts that are dangling from it to be considered as if they fell off just before the animal's death, and therefore the dangling flesh is considered basam and achai and not nevela, and it's treated like regular meat, and in order for it to be mekabel tuma, it requires hechsher. However, the dangling aver from this animal that now died, metamen mishum aver menachai, then metamen mishum aver nevela. It's going to be considered aver menachai, but not nevela, because nevela is only on an animal that died without shechita. And as I said a moment ago, this animal, this aver, is considered that it fell off before the animal died. Divrei Rameya, v'shim matar, which again the Gemara will explain. The Gemara said that the dangling aver, or the dangling basar, is able to have tumas oichlin, tumas nevela loy. And Rashi and Tosfos both explain that when the Gemara uses the words tumas nevela, it doesn't mean tumas nevela. It actually means tumas aver menachai. Why does the Gemara explain the Mefarshim use the words tumas nevela when it actually means tumas aver menachai? To show us that it should have the din like tumas nevela, which is not connected to tumas eva melechai, that's considered like a tumas nevela. Ask the Gemara, but what is the case? Hechidami, either mal arucha, if this dangling eva or basar could be reconnected, so now I feel tumas oichlin namu loy l'tamo, then it should have tumas oichlin. It should be considered part of the live animal. And as I said, a live animal is not susceptible to tumas oichlin. Read the what amal maruchin, that it can't be repaired, then tumas nevela nami litmu, then it ought to have tumas eva menachai as well. Answers the Gemara, loylam the amal maruchin. It's referring to a situation that it cannot anymore be healed. The shani tumas nevela, but when we speak about tumas eva menachai, rachmana omer, there the Torah says, ki yipoil, it's not considered eva menachai, actually, until it completely falls off. And in fact, says Maratani Namihachi, so that we learn in the Braisa, Heva Vabasa Mudodol Mehema, the Eva Vabasa that are still dangling from an animal, Umurim Becheta Sarah, and they're just hanging on by a hair, Yochu Yitama Tamas Nevela, which you think that they're already susceptible to Tunas Eva Menachai, Tamaloy Me Yipoil, actually, they have to fall off completely. Bafila Hachi, the Gemara points out, that they're not considered detached, to the degree, as we're saying, that they're still that they're not considered Eva Menachai, they are considered detached as far as Tumas Oichlin. Says the Gemara, and the way the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara is trying to find a precedent where it could be somewhat still considered connected, and at the same time considered disconnected. Where do we find such a concept? Mesalei Rav Chiba Rashi, Darim Chiba Rashi Amr Shmuel, Tainim Shitsam Kubeveim, figs that are shriveled on the branches, metam and tumas oichlin, are considered tuma as far as tumas oichlin are concerned. But talos men b'shabbos chayiv chatas. If somebody tears off such a fig on Shabbos, he's chayiv chatas for the melacha of ktsira. So we see that on one hand they are considered connected as far as hilchos Shabbos is concerned, and as far as hilchos tuma is concerned, they're not considered connected. The same in our Gemara, as far as Hilchos Eivim and Achai, they're considered connected. As far as Tumas Nevela is concerned, they're not considered connected. The Dvar Avram wants to explain the why are there different rules for Tuma and for Shabbos. He says for Tuma, it has nothing to do with Yanika. And the question is nourishment still being gathered from the source? And that is an issue regarding some areas of halacha, but not an issue in other areas of halacha. And therefore, he explains that when we speak as far as tumah is concerned, they're considered, tumas Eichlin is concerned, they're considered disconnected because they're not getting any more unique. There's really no nourishment coming anymore. And that's why they can be considered separated. For Shabbos, it doesn't depend on unique, and therefore, for Shabbos, they're still considered connected, and you'll be chayiv for taking off on Shabbos. Lame in the Sile, so Gemara wants to bring another rabbi. It says, in a brisa, the rotas should some to be veyim, if vegetables shrivel, to guard a gruva talas, cabbage, or cucumbers, any metamatumus eichlin. They're not metamatumus eichlin, because they're considered no longer edible, because they're so dried up. Cut some v'yafsham, if somebody cut them off and dried them, metamatumus eichlin. So it's obviously, the brisa is obviously difficult to understand. Cut some v'yafsham. Why, if we cut off these dried vegetables, are they subject to Tumas Eichlin? We said Eitz Ba'almahu, and since they're Eitz Ba'alma, they shouldn't be susceptible to Tumas Eichlin. Vamar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Ba'manasli Yavshem. What it means is he cut them off while they were still fresh, with the intention of drying them and using them as wood, and rather than eating them. And the Braisa teaches us that although they were not intended to be used as food, but they intended to be used as wood, they're still susceptible to tumah as long as they remain moist. So now the Gemara makes its point. Tama, the kruv and the lasu. We're speaking specifically about the kruv and the las, the kiv and the yafsha, who once they're dried up, lav b'nei chilinimu, they're not edible. Hashe peris, but other fruits which remain edible even when they're dry, will have the ability to be metamic to Mesaichon. Now the question is, hey, Chidami, what is the case that we're speaking about? Either Yavshon Huvet saying, if they're completely dried up, so then, Pshita, it's obvious, since they're detached completely from the ground, that they're considered food, and they're going to be metamic to Mesaichon. Elolav, it's speaking about a case that they dried up, but the stems didn't dry up. And the Braisa seems to be teaching us exactly what Shmuel said, that they're going to be considered separate from the ground as far as Tumas Eichlin is concerned, even though they're going to be considered connected to the ground as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. The Braisa is really speaking about a case where they completely dried up. If they're completely dried up, then what's the chiddush? The cuts on l'masu yashem etzukalei. The Braisa is coming to teach us that if they were cut down when they were moist, with the intention to dry them and use them as wood, they're still susceptible to tumas eichlin as long as they were moist. That's what the Braisa is coming to teach us. Nothing to do with this partial connected and partial disconnected. Tashma. So now I'm going to ask the following question on Shmuel. It says in a brisa, Ilosh and Shechavateris, if a tree split and a branch broke off from it, and there were fruits on the branch that broke off, Harei and Ketusha. Those fruits are regarded as if they're detached. Yashu. But if the fruits dry up while they're still connected to the tree, Harei and Ketusha. My love, doesn't the brisa mean to say, Matlushin, when they're considered disconnected, they're considered disconnected with Chod Vreim, both for Hilchos Tumah and for Hilchos Shabbos. And Mechubarim, when they're considered connected, they're considered connected with Chod Vreim, for all halachas, that they're not susceptible to Tumas Eichlim, and they are Asur on Shabbos to be disconnected. But Shmuel said that they don't travel together, and somebody can be considered disconnected for Tumas Eichlim and connected for Shabbos. So isn't this a question on Shmuel's opinion? Says the Marmidi area. Hakadisa Valkadisa. The Braisa is not necessarily saying that. When the Braisa says that the fruits on a broken off branch are considered detached, it means for Shabbos and for Tumah. And when it says that they're considered attached, and it means only for Hilchos Shabbos, but if Hilchos Tuma, because they're not, their attachment is so weak, as we're learning in our Mishnah and Gemara, even though they're considered attached to Hilchos Shabbos, they will be considered detached to Hilchos Tuma and will be susceptible to Tumas Hachmor.